This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Is it an act of righteousness to marry more than wife? Also, is it a sunnah that you're rewarded for?
Okay. The scholars, Muslim scholars, debated over this issue. Is it recommended for the person to marry more than one? So there will be an agreement if marrying one woman will not be enough for this man to protect his chastity, and he still feel like this marriage is not enough for me to be protected, and still my sexual desire is not fulfilled, it will be recommended for him in case like this to look for another one. But if it's not, would it be recommended or not? Here we'll have a debate. Some of them said yes, because it means that ability to have more children. There is more women to take care of, especially by knowing that there is a large number of women who are not married, and some of them that also it make the person more protected, make another person protected as well, which is the other woman that he is marrying. And some others said, no, it is just permissible. It's not something that you have an extra reward for doing it. But marriage in itself is an act of worship. In another word, when the Prophet said, for example, if you marry a wife, you complete half of your deen. So if you marry two, you complete the whole deen. It doesn't work this way. So, or you double your deen, you know? It doesn't work this way. But in itself is an act of worship, act of kindness, and so forth. But there are several things to have be taken into consideration. Number one, the country that you're living in, the land that you're living in, if it is illegal and that can cause you to go to jail or to cause people to be in trouble, this is something definitely it will be a factor to determine if you can do that or not. Because you can bring harm to yourself and your family because you want to do something the best it can be, a recommended act. Number two, that you must be able to be just and fair between them. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "In khiftum alla ta'dilu fawahida." If you, Allah didn't say, if you're not fair, Allah said, if you are worried not to be fair, if you're afraid of not to be fair, if there is even possibility for you not to be fair between them, only marry one. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who marry more than one wife and they're not fair between them, they come in the day of judgment and they are two half. And one of their half is basically as if you split like to two half, and one half is leaning towards the ground. And imagine that is very ugly, because he was leaning towards one of them more than the other. And the only thing that you know have no control over it is the desire and the love that's in the heart. But what is fairness? It's in the action, the treatment, and the spending the nights and stuff like that. So this is another thing that you have to take in consideration. The third point in this regard is you can't start, why people get married again. Many people get married again because they are not happy in their first marriage. And I want to tell anyone who thinking about that, you know, if you're not successful in your first marriage, definitely doesn't mean you're going to be successful in the second one, or your first marriage will be solved by marrying another one. You're just going to double the problem. My advice to the person who is struggling in his first marriage, fix your marriage. You know, and if you fix the problem in your marriage, you know, after that, you can do whatever you want if that's something you want to do. But it's not a solution for your first marriage is to just to run away from the problem by looking into another one. And you just ignore or pretend that's not exist. Another thing, a lot of people get married, you know, just to prove a point that he's, you know, macho, alpha man, girl, strong, whatever, you know, that really doesn't prove anything. Marrying another woman, it's a big responsibility. Marriage is a very serious thing in Islam. And those who marry another one and they don't neglect them and they don't give them the rights, keep them secrets and all those kind of things, is not right and it's not correct, you know. And is not allowed in Islam because that woman have rights. And the only reason that you marry her because marriage will provide a decent, dignified secured, loving life. And if he can't provide that, that's not correct. Many people also joke about this a lot and making it as a threat also to the wife. I'm marrying another one. As if this second wife thing is a bad thing, you know, and it is like a threat. I'm going to punish you by marrying another one. And that's what made a lot of people have very negative view of polygamy. Because of that type of talk and this rhetoric, it's a threat and punishment, and I'm going to marry another one, I'm going to abandon you. Also the practice of so many people who are not fair and just as when they marry another one. All those give this bad image of this concept. But in reality, this concept is meant actually to be a very good solution for society. You know, there's many sisters are staying single, alone. They don't have husbands. And, you know, unfortunately, the many of them have, reality speaking, you know, I'm talking about being practical, but the chance of marrying someone who's not married is getting slim, very slim for so many of them. What's the solution? Should just stay single like that for the rest of her life? You know, so Islam have put that as a solution for these kind of problems. You know, that's why I really would like to say that the concept of polygamy is a concept that it is unfairly treated by so many Muslims, you know, around the world, and something that it has been abused, you know. Like many things that it is permissible, but you might abuse it and it turn it to be something negative, and it originally intend to be something good, to be a solution, to be a tool of helping, a tool of growing a strong family and strong community. And in the West today and many other civilizations, they attack Islam because it allowed polygamy, while they themselves, the lost people in the world, who should ever speak about polygamy or anything like that? Because the amount of cheating and the sort of like, you know, multiple sexual relationships, it's the average, you know, concept in Western civilizations that people will have a sexual relationship with multiple people at certain point. I'm not saying everybody at the same time, but they're in the course of life, you know, especially if they are not married. Islam have provided solution to control that desire for those who want to control it, a solution for those women who don't have anyone to take care of them. And marriage, again, as we've been teaching in this course, sorry for the long answer, teaching this is not just about a woman that I sleep with and the man that I sleep with. Marriage is a responsibility. Marriage is love. Marriage is feelings. Marriage is support. Marriage is a religious, a faith. We grow together in faith. Marriage is all this together, and also the intimate and the physical attraction. So if we look into this, I'm sure this will help people to put this in a different perspective than what we see in the world today.
Thank you so much. So I had a few follow-up questions with that. So there are some Muslim majority countries, and you said that it's wrong for a man to marry another woman, of course, behind the back of his first wife. It's morally wrong for us, but the people that do that in Muslim majority countries, their justification is that, like, I don't legally, from an Islamic perspective, I don't need my first wife's permission from a jurisprudential standpoint. Therefore, from a jurisprudential standpoint, I don't need to even inform my first wife that I have a second wife. And of course, that creates problems. But like, how do you, from the jurisprudential standpoint, approach this individual? What, like, delil, that's the right word for it. Should you give this individual in order to, you know, sway them? Because otherwise, they're just going to be like, you're just giving me the words of a human being.
Okay. Good question. Yes, you don't need the permission of your first wife to get married again. You know, that's true. But also, she doesn't need to stay in this marriage if you married another woman. She has every right to divorce. And she said, I am not happy with that. I mean, how he would marry another woman and his first wife wouldn't know? That's kind of, you know, maybe in a short period of time, but to the long run, what about every night, every other night he sleeps outside? What is he going to tell her? You know? Okay, you might say he make an arrangement with the second wife that he will go there occasionally or every month, like twice. Okay, I understand that. But again, isn't that also the right of the first wife to know? You know, that her husband's, what if this woman that he married have some, whatever, you know, just having multiple people that you sleep with can attract certain type of, you know, sexual diseases or transmitted diseases, or no doubt it will, women will notice the difference between her husband if he married another one or not. That's one. Two, what if this woman don't want to live in this? I don't want. That's her right. She can say, I don't want to be married to someone who's married. And nobody can blame her for that. When Fatima radiallahu anha, Ali radiallahu anha, was thinking about marrying the daughter of Abu Jahl, who's a Muslim, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, no. Wallahi la yajtami'an. They will not be together under one roof. The daughter of Rasulullah and the daughter of the enemy of Allah. And he said, so-and-so, my other in-laws, my other daughter's husband, they promised me and they fulfilled the promise. So the ulama said, from this hadith, it looks like the Prophet ﷺ have made a promise. He made them to make a promise in the marriage contract that they will not marry another one. And that's one of the technical ways, if you want to go technical, for the wife in the marriage contract to say, you know what, I want to put a condition that you cannot marry another one. And if she cannot say you cannot marry another one, because she cannot change the rules in Islam. But she can say, I put a condition, if you marry another one, you must inform me, and I have the right, reserve the right to divorce without losing any of my financial, you know, privilege or anything like that. And in other words, she's not forced to be the one who makes khul' or initiate the talaq. No, she preserve all her, or she might say, if you marry another one, you know, before you married her, you have to give me $100,000. You know, I will own from your properties that amount of money as a compensation for the harm that he can. She can put whatever condition she might want to protect at this point some of her rights. You know, that's fine. So remember, marriage is a contract. So whatever the contract goes, as long as it's not something that make halal haram or haram halal, that's fine.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan.
And I have advice for all husbands, like, that issue of secrets marriage is not a good idea at all. And if it's completely secrets, we'll get to know today, inshallah ta'ala, that that's not even Islamically correct.
But isn't the whole purpose behind a marriage for it to not be secret?
Absolutely. That's why Aisha radiallahu anha said the difference between marriage and prostitution is the publicity. Prostitution is secret. Marriage is open.
Jazakallah khairan. One last question, inshallah. What if a wife, right? I'm trying to give you a scenario. She is like, there's a husband basically. He has two wives, but he makes a stipulation that one wife gets less, sees him less often than the other. Perhaps maybe once, like basically, can a husband stipulate with his wives that, hey, I'm not going to see you as often as the other wife? Also, can one wife, is it halal for the stipulation to go as far as I'll never see you again? Just to keep your family honor and dignity, we're going to be married on paper, but we'll never see each other again in our lives. Is that halal?
If a man marry a woman and he said, I will never see you again, that's not allowed because there is responsibility. He have to support her financially, he has to be there for her emotionally, and all the purpose of marriage does not exist, you know? But if, let's say, she say, you know what, I don't need anything from you, I just, you know, whenever you want to come, you can come, you know, at home, and I'm fine, financially I'm good, I'm not interested in any physical relationship, you know, I'm going to just spend the rest of my life taking care of my kids, and that's it. That's her rights, and she gave up her rights. But for him to put it on her, no.
So in this scenario, it's the wife that puts it upon the husband, and it's not like you can come every once in a while. It's like, never see me again. I don't want to see you again. It's more of a way of maintaining the image of the family and the children, giving the relatives the illusion that they're still married, but like it's just mainly to maintain dignity. It's not
that that illusion would be very difficult to maintain if you're never seeing each other, because any kind of family situation, like whether it's gatherings on the holidays or whatnot, this is like, where's your husband? Oh, I don't know. How's that gonna go over?
Yeah, I think what those people need a counselor. The sister need a counselor. She's just afraid to face the society with divorce. And when we talk about divorce, there is a whole stigma about divorced woman, you know? And maybe that's what it is. And she needs to know that she doesn't need to go through that. She needs help and support. You know what? If it's not working, it's not working. Khalas.
What if one party stigmatizes counseling due to, of course, family culture, and for that reason, like, there's no, like, they can't get counseling because, like, one party sees counseling as, like, a weakness, so they won't.
Maybe one party only do the counseling. Doesn't need to be both. Okay. At least she can know what to do.
I think at some point, people got to be like, hell with what family thinks. I got to do what I got to do. Right? But that takes a little bit of strength. However, the other question thought was kind of building on what he was saying earlier. There's as I understand it, there's a difference in the sense of like being fair does not necessarily mean being equal to both partners, right? Like let's say a dude has a wife, and with her he's had 2-3 kids, and they've been married for 10 years. And then he pursues a second wife who has one kid, you know, from a previous marriage, but like equity would say that he would spend more time with the wife with 2 kids than the wife with 1 kid, just as an example, right?
Yeah, fairness, it doesn't mean necessarily equal in everything, but there is some things, no, like for example, knights, he have to be equal knights. Unless one of them give up her nights, or he take a permission. Some people give this stories of Mas'ud got salt for this wife, so he got another salt for the other wife. You know, this is like just a symbolic thing, but the reality is, you make sure that both maintain a good life and they're happy. So, for example, someone who likes gold, someone doesn't like gold. You know, doesn't she likes silver, for example, or this one like cheese, this one doesn't like cheese. Doesn't mean I have to get her cheese pie if I got this one cheese pie, and so on. So the point is, like what you said, also I have little kids here, I have older kids there. The older kids need more attention and time. So that has nothing to do with the wife, it has to do with the kids, and that's a completely different game. For example, this one has 5 kids and this one's single. So no doubt the money I spend on this or the type of house for this one with 5 kids or 4 kids cannot be equal to the house for someone who's having no kids. This will be an apartment, for example, this will be a house. So that concept of equality, no, she has a house, I have to have a house. No, or it took us 20 years to buy a house and you just came yesterday, you think you wanna buy a house too, to be fair. No, we will go through that and we will, as long as I maintain a good life for her. The good thing in America, alhamdulillah, it's illegal, so we don't need to worry about polygamy much.
Sheikh, I just have one question.
Yeah.
So if somebody has a secret marriage, is he sinning or is the marriage invalid?
We'll talk about this today, but if it is completely secretive, completely, this marriage is illegal, is invalid.
Meaning, are they in zina then?
They have to. No, we don't call this zina, but this is called wat' bishubha. One of the things that any relationships in a marriage, that this marriage is missing one of the conditions or missing one of the integral, okay, we call this wat bishubha. It's a sexual relationship that doesn't make them fasiq or zani or anything of that nature. Their kids still carry the lineage and everything, but we call this has to be renewed. So person like this, we have to tell them you have to publicize. Otherwise, we separate them.